We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Courtside with Christy and Gabe right here on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. I am Christy Winter Scott, joined as always by my guy, Gabe Ibrahim. Gabe, it's 2-0, baby. The finals, oh my gosh, best of five series in favor of the Aces. Are you surprised?
That's a great question.
To start off things,
I think I'm a little surprised. Not that the Aces won. I think them running away with the game in the way that they did was very surprising.
Yes.
And, you know, I think you can look at either team, right? And point to one thing. So it was 85-71 was the final.
Yeah.
You can look at to the Aces and say, well, Kelsey Plum got going. And, you know, that's exactly what happened. Like, she got going. She made the difference. Yeah. That's why they were able to blow them out.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot more on the Connecticut side where they're kind of kicking themselves saying, you know, our defensive rotations weren't as crisp. Our rebounding wasn't there. Our, offensive energy, it was, I actually thought the offense was more or less similar. They just couldn't get DeJuana Bonner going, but it was that on the defensive end where I was really surprised at some of the miscues, some of the mistakes, and just like, you know, it didn't feel like Connecticut some basketball on that end throughout the game.
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, defensively a couple of times or more than a couple, a bushel of times, you're talking about the rotations. How about forcing Asia Wilson to her right hand? And not that, I mean, the percentages go down like a smidge when you do that. However, you can't let her get downhill from the nail, Gabe, more than once. Okay. I can see like, hey, things happen fast. I get it. But she's the MVP of the league. I was astonished that she got wide open on the left elbow and turned around and looked shocked that she didn't see a wall of defenders there. And you were on the post game call last night. I asked her last night, were you surprised not to see anybody right there? And she said, to be honest, I have never seen no defense when I turn around. And it was, she was just blatantly honest. And I, you know, that was more than a miscue to me. That was lack of focus. That was lack of being deliberate mentally on the defensive end. I mean, you needed to split on the road. You were in a 3-point game going into the fourth quarter. How do you, even with that, because those things happened all game long. It wasn't just that they happened down the stretch and all of a sudden they just lost their focus. That kind of miscoverage was happening throughout the game from the jump ball, right? So this wasn't something that, oh, they were clicking and clicking. It was a 3-point game going into the fourth and all of a sudden the bottom fell out. That was not the story of this game, right? Mm-hmm. It was throughout the game. Unfortunately for them, it was, you know, back against the wall situation headed home, though, but still back against the wall when they could have had a split in Vegas.
Well, and before we get too far into it, I do want to remind people, subscribe to the Her Hoop Stats YouTube channel. If you're following us, if you're listening to the audio only, drop us a like, drop us a comment. I didn't stream this because I totally forgot to promote it. And like, I wanted to see someone. So that's why we're not doing the live stream. Well, I think we're going to be back live streaming on Thursday because I'll be in Connecticut for game three.
Let's do it.
Perhaps the final game of the WNBA series season, which would be incredible.
Yeah.
But to your point about Connecticut's lack of focus, you know, I think they seem to over adjust to what happened in game one. You know, I think they got a little too cute by half. And I think that's easy to do in this situation, right? Where you're saying, and it's the exact thing you said, right? They needed this game. There's no way around it. They needed this game if they wanted to win the series. Now, of course, crazier things have happened than the Connecticut Sun winning three straight games in the series.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But you look at it and you're, I'm very confident that the Las Vegas Aces are going to win championship right now.
Yeah.
But I think for Connecticut, I think they just got so in their heads and they said they found problems that weren't there and forgot the things that kept them in that game one, which, you know, and you got to give credit to Las Vegas first and foremost.
Absolutely.
I think Vegas took them off the boards in a really big way. So in game one, 13-6 advantage on the offensive glass for Connecticut. In game two, the offensive glass was 6-2. So great job by Vegas to keep those Connecticut bigs out of the paint.
Yeah.
But there was just like you're saying, like Asia Wilson's wide open at the elbow. And I think that's because they had adjusted to worrying about, okay, Chelsea Gray getting to the elbow. Oh, we have now Kelsey Plum's going off. We have to adjust again. It's like, sometimes I feel like the easiest thing in this series, and this is what happened in the Chicago series to this team, was they just kind of said, you know what? We're going to play basketball. We're going to play basketball. And then if we play basketball, we're going to have a much better chance in this series. And I'm not trying to say Kurt Miller hasn't done a great job with this team. That's not what I'm saying. I actually think he did too good of a job. He had too many ideas. And I don't think it all got through to the team. And I think that their execution suffered. And then it's back to my whole thing about the quicksand speech from the movie, The Replacements. One thing goes wrong, another thing goes wrong, another thing goes wrong. And then by the end of the game, you're drowned.
Yeah, holes in the boat. That's what I say half the time. And, you know, and then they're trying to patch and fix and patch and fix. And meanwhile, the main thing's not the main thing anymore. And the main thing for Connecticut, yes, the defense was subpar in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And maybe there was some over-adjusting. There was some hard hedging. And I know Becky Hammon is a savant when it comes to picking that apart and making reads. Yeah. You know,
and Chelsea Gray, too.
Oh my God. Like, you know, that double stagger away to the ball screen and the roll and the dive weak side. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I can go on and on. I have it written down, you know, for whatever reason, because I'm not coaching right now, but still I'd love to see when things work out that way. But the way that Becky Hammon dissected all of those changes from Connecticut and Kurt Miller in that way, it was just masterful. And it was really fun to watch that chess match of what was happening for both coaches and how they were trying to fix it for their team and give their team a chance to win. So, I mean, when you're looking at Connecticut, again, I'm going back to what we said, when we were talking about the preview of this final series, is that Jasmine Thomas, I mean, they miss her, man. And she's running right now, which is,
yeah, it's awesome.
You know, that's my girl, DMV, Oakton High School represent. But for her, I just think, they're missing another offensive weapon, or not necessarily someone who could put the ball in the basket, but when they need some offensive organization, they're missing that. I mean, Heidemann has been off the mark offensively too. For as rough as Dawana Bonner has been playing offensively.
Yeah.
I mean, 1-for-9 in both games, 1-for-9 in game one, 1-for-9 in game two, correct?
Yeah. 5 points, 2-for-18 from the field this series.
2-for-18. That's the only player for Connecticut who has won a championship in the WNBA. So you're relying on her. And some of those shots are open looks. And I think Kurt Miller, he said that a little bit post-game. He said, you know, some players have the ability to knock in open shots. And I was like, oh, because Bonner had open looks, especially early on, like 0 for 5, I believe she started. Most of them pretty much in rhythm, wide open looks that she makes normally. And they weren't going down. And then he said something about Chelsea Gray being able to, with the ability to make tough contested shots, is a different level player. I mean, her shots, and we'll get into her, but just with what Connecticut was missing on the offensive end, you don't have Heidemann knocking in her shot that she normally makes, a 40% or more shooter this season from three outside the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Bonner, who is their only WNBA champion, who you're really relying on to offset the pressure, if you will, for AT, Alyssa Thomas, and Jonquil Jones, who have been great. I think those two have been playing well. They need support, especially from the perimeter, and that's where I think they miss a player like Jasmine Thomas. Again, not just her scoring ability, but her ability to organize them on the offensive end so they don't have empty possessions, but also let her set the table and set her teammates up so they're more in rhythm. They just seem so disjointed on the offensive end, and that fourth quarter really showed itself.
Well, and you could see Kurt grasping at straws there. I mean, you know, as much as I love Nia Claudin, I really do, she came in into a final series after not playing game one and not really playing in these playoffs. Yeah. I just thought that was a recipe for disaster to put a player like that into that situation. And yeah, she got burned by Kelsey Plum, because of course she did. I mean, you know, I didn't think the thought was mm-hmm. that crazy. I just thought they're grasping at straws that position because of the lack of Jasmine Thomas and because Dawana Bonner can't get going. If she's shooting well, that becomes less of an issue to not have your point guard.
Exactly.
Then it becomes much easier. But, you know, I think the player who was really going after it on offense, as we have always mentioned, was Courtney Williams. I mean, 18 points from her. She had a great game, too, especially in response to that game one.
Yes.
And she's always gunning for it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I think the real stat, that the biggest stat here for this game, and it's a stat that Kurt has been talking about throughout the playoffs, is points in the paint.
Yeah.
Aces, 46 points in the paint, Connecticut 28.
I mean, that was the difference. Oh my gosh. And I think there was a timeout. I can't remember what juncture it was, but Becky Hammon was like, it's 24 to 12, us in the paint. I love it. And I was like, stop. Man, I'm like, who wouldn't want to play for Becky Hammon? God, man. I mean, she just has that energy exuding in those huddles, and she just empowers her team, and Greg Popovich was there too.
Yeah, that was fun.
And that was so awesome to hear him speak to the team afterwards. And, you know, I love what she has been able to do there. That's why, you know, she's coach of the year. That's why Asia Wilson's MVP this year, because of that kind of thing. And I mean, Chelsea Gray, God, man, she is elite. And we knew that, but she's just solidifying her role in this league. And, you know, for her to roll her ankle and the team not miss a beat, I mean, that just speaks to the chemistry and trust of this team.
And coaching.
And of all, they trust one another. It's reciprocal, goes both ways. And, you know, hopefully Chelsea Gray, you know, hopefully it doesn't, you know, blow up on her. You know, they flew charter last night, so they get
and she looked fine.
She looked fine
in that fourth quarter.
Oh, then after she rolled it, she got a bucket and was like hyped, and she put her jacket on and like, that sit and spin was going. I was like, go ahead, Chelsea Gray, have yourself some fun. I mean, she's just playing great basketball right now, and she's on another level when it comes to being a striker in clutch moments. And clutch moments aren't just at the end of the game, okay? Let's trust and believe that clutch moments happen in momentum swing moments. And she was swinging that momentum all game long, all series long, all playoffs long, all season long.
Yeah, really.
Gray is a flat out dog.
She's on a different planet. She's on a different level right now. Like I tweeted this yesterday. I've never seen anything like this ever. And then I've watched a lot of basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Dwayne Wade in the 2006 finals, and older WNBA fans, if you guys have someone to let me know, like exactly what, maybe there's probably an Angel McCautry series, but she never won the finals, so it's hard to equip like equal it with Chelsea Gray. So if you have someone that has done this from the mid-range where she has,
how
the sliver of space she's trying to get to.
Yeah.
Is free throw line at the elbows, maybe give or take a couple feet. So we're talking about like a 4 by 8 foot box on the court.
Yeah.
Everyone on the court knows that she wants to get there. Mm. Everyone in the stands, every coach, every player, everyone in the stadium and watching at home knows that she wants to get to that spot. It's impossible to stop her from getting that spot. And it's impossible to contest the shot enough such that she's going to miss. This is beyond the pale, I think, of something we've ever seen, because it's not that she's getting to the free throw line a lot. Yeah. It's not that she's getting to the rim a lot. She's playing great team basketball, being unselfish, finding her teammates, but it's all coming from that mid range. I mean, we haven't seen this in the modern revolution of basketball in the past, like 10 years.
Yeah, no question. When you were saying that, I was just running through my Rolodex in my head of names from the past in the WNBA, and Deanna Nolan is a player who stands out to me in that regard. Swin Cash even mentioned her in her Hall of Fame speech. I just think she had that ability in the mid-range to crush your spirit. And that's what Chelsea Gray is doing right now. But the difference between Deanna Nolan, Tweety Nolan, as she's affectionately known throughout the league, the difference is Chelsea Gray's body strength is just amazing. And it's so dominating. If she gets a piece of your hip and she's trying to bump you, I mean, she's like a post player with guard skills. I mean, she's 6 foot. I mean, what, 5'11", 6 foot. But she is like a wall when it comes to getting down here, getting a piece of your body, moving you, bodying you up, and then rising up on you with her footwork that has just been amazing. And her release is so high. So it's like, you know, she's going to get that shot off. Even if you have a hand in her face, as you saw that one particular shot with Courtney Williams being banged, you know, she's getting into her shoulders. And then Chelsea Gray just takes it up and over her. And her hand was like in her face, like directly in her face. And it didn't make a difference. And, you know, that's just who she is as a player. But in terms of the mentality, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong or add somebody if you think, but Diana Taurasi-esque in terms of her Mamba mode. I mean, she wore a Kobe shirt walking in to game two. Like, she tapped in to that kind of lock-in when it came time to dominate in this game. And, you know, Kelsey Plum too, for that matter. I mean, both of them. But Plum's game was, she was getting to the rim at will, all game long. And apparently Asia Wilson had some advice for her prior to the game. And that was pretty, I don't know. It was something to see post game to hear Asia tell the press, all of us, what she told Kelsey Plum, which was to get your doo-doo together.
get your stuff together.
Yeah,
put it in a box and get it together.
Yeah. But in a way, you know, I understood what Kelsey was saying. Like she said people were praying over me. People were rubbing me on the hand like, woo, woo, woo. It's going to be okay, baby. But then here's Asia saying, we need you to score. Yeah. Like, get your stuff together and let's go. We need you to score so we can win. And I was watching the nonverbal of that exchange. And Kelsey's face, I know she appreciated it, but I think it hurt her.
Yeah.
It hurt her?
On some level,
didn't it?
Of course it did. But you know what? Asia was right. You needed to get your stuff together. You can't go 1-for-9 in a playoff game, Kelsey. That's why we almost lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I love that because I think, you know, the best teams, in my opinion, the best teams, and this is again, I'm a Miami Heat fan. I'm a Katie Meyer fan. This is a big Katie philosophy. Is you gotta be honest at all times.
You do.
If you're not honest at all times, the trust is gonna break down. You're gonna see that on the court.
Yes.
You know, if you're trying to, you know, manipulate or try to, you know, do something in non-style, people are going to understand that. And that trust is going to break down, and it's going to break down on the court later. And that's what you really don't want.
No.
So to me, it was like, yeah, of course you have to get your stuff together. Like, this is not a time for us to be, you know, hey, oh, you know, buddy, like, look happy, whatever. No, this is not a time to smile. This is a time to get the buckets. And Plum did that. And like you said, her getting to the rim changed the entire face of the game. 20 points, 7 of 13 from the field, 7 assists, though. And those came from those rim possessions. Yeah. I think in game one, she was a little tentative to, like, get to the rim. Also, I don't know how to pronounce that word. Did I pronounce it right? Tentative?
Tentative.
Okay, sure. But Plum, her getting to the rim was a huge deal. I think she settled for a lot of threes. And they were open, and she missed them in game one. So I understand the hesitancy. And she got blocked a couple times in game one, too. But this game, she was like, I don't care if I get blocked. I don't care if someone hits me in the head. I don't care what happens. If someone has a shovel down there, I'm still going down there. I'm taking the shovel to the face. Because she that attitude has been there all season for her. Yeah. And you can tell pretty much in, like, the first, I don't know, 5 minutes of the game what kind of game Kelsey Plum's going to have. And she just was in attack mode from minute one. And I thought she was just absolutely stunning. You know, I thought she really opened up all that space. And the reason why, I think, going back to the points in the paint thing, the reason why Vegas was able to dominate the points in the paint was because of Kelsey Plum. Not just because of Asia Wilson, but that just opened up everything for everyone. And it was such a big game for her. And, you know, I don't know. I expected the response, to be honest.
I expected the response. Chelsea Gray tried to say the edited version, please, Asia, and Asia went explicit with it, which is fine. But like you said, it was the honest answer. But I'm not, and I'm saying this not from a negative place at all, okay? Asia Wilson has stepped into her leadership role in this playoff series, not just in the finals, but in the playoffs all along. And she has said that she has realized the importance of that for the team. And I think she has every game, every possession of every game, walked in that light. And I think it's really been fun to watch her mature as a competitor in that way. Excuse me. And as a leader in that way, I mean, I think she has been reluctant in the past, you know, and not that she didn't know that her team needed it. I just don't think she knew how to lead in that way. And I think for her to gain confidence and to really utilize her voice, and she's saying, my team needs this from me. And to hear her say it that way, I'm like, she's owning it.
Mm-hmm.
She's owning it. And now her team sees the integrity of the statements that she's making.
Yeah.
And it's not personal, it's business. And the business is of winning. And that's why they're 2-0. And I love that Asia Wilson has stepped into her leadership and her, you know, just her ability to do that. And people think, oh, if you're a leader of the team, you're scoring the most points. And I'm like, that's not what leadership is all about. No. I mean, that's some of it. But that's not, it's not statistical, right? It's emotional. It's emotional. It's mental. You can't go out and execute if your mind isn't right. And I think for Asia Wilson, not only to have her mind right, but to get everybody else's mind right collectively, man, that's a special talent. And I think, you know, while she wanted to do that in the past, I don't think she had the blueprint for that or the confidence. And I'm saying that with love. I mean, you have to be able to have experience, like anything, like losing helps you win, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wanting to lead and not knowing how, that helps you lead in the same way. And I think Asia Wilson has displayed that just in a marvelous way, especially in these two games so far in the finals.
Well, I think that mentality, I mean, how big is Chelsea Gray in that regard, right?
Yeah.
You know, having someone who's won a championship, who understands what it takes to get there, who was in the position of these other players, right? Because she, in Los Angeles, she wasn't the leader on that team. And even earlier this year, I don't think most people saw Chelsea Gray as the leader, hence why she did not make the All-Star game, which was ridiculous.
Ridiculous
at the time, even stupider now.
Even more so.
But, you know, I think just coming in and being able to tell, you know, share that championship experience. And like these players maturing, that that's the one thing that with the Aces that we kind of forget, because Asia's been such a mainstay in women's basketball. Kelsey Plum's been such a mainstay in women's basketball that we forget that they're young. They're still really young. And so I think Asia going through the losses that she had to go through, Asia understanding that she the way she has to act and the way she has to be, and also having a presence that complements her in Chelsea Gray. I think that's a big deal, because, you know, Asia seems to me that she runs a little hot. I run a little hot. She doesn't seem to yell all that much, but she definitely runs hot. She definitely gets into it.
Yeah.
So you kind of, it's great to have someone who's just calm, cool, and collected. She's going to be able to explain things to the players when you can be that emotional leader. I think Kelsey Plum is in a similar spot where she, she's talked about this a few times, like in 3-on-3, she really learned to just go.
Yeah.
Just go. Don't worry about it. Just go. And now on this team, she's opened up to be able to just go. And I think that mentality translates into how you talk to people, how you treat people in the locker room, and how you approach the game. If you're just thinking, hey, I got to just go, you know, whatever. If the shots go miss, make or miss, it doesn't matter. I'm going.
Yeah.
And then I think it opens it up to, you know, everything. And then there's the trust factors and all those things that go into it. But this team is really together mentally. Mm-hmm. And I think it's showing up in the court and their execution. I mean, you look at there's a stat in the game that I'm putting up here. Mm-hmm. You know, Plum, Gray, and Wilson all had 20 points last night. Fourth trio in WNBA Finals history to have 20 points each in a finals game. Also, I looked up another stat that I just wanted to share because I was thinking about it.
I'd love it.
So Chelsea Gray is averaging 23.3 points a game. Wow. She is shooting 1.5 free throws a game. No player has ever done that in a playoffs.
Wow. Wow.
Over multiple games. It's never happened. Wow. At that level of free throws, at that level, and 20 points.
Oh my gosh. That just speaks to who she is. What'd you say?
Well, that's why it's so incredible. She's not even getting to the line. She doesn't need to. And I think in this game, that's been huge in these playoffs. Cause in these playoffs, even more so than previous playoffs, the refs are letting people play.
Yeah.
Which is a big reason why Connecticut's here in the first place. But you got to be able to do stuff. You have to be able to get your shot, your points, not from the line.
Right.
Chelsea Gray has been doing that amazingly. So,
yeah.
This trio push Vegas to the win. I feel like to a certain extent, Connecticut has to just tip their hat, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, at this point, And when you have, speaking of point guard, Chelsea Gray, the fact that it's 1.5 attempts, like her and ones, that's when she gets to the line is when she gets tagged, right? Yeah. And she's not the one falling. When she gets tagged, she's still standing, and whoever fouled her is on the floor. Like,
she tossed Natisha Heidemann last night. Right?
Oh, my God. I mean, she's a powerhouse. She's a powerhouse. And so, you know, that's why I find it intriguing that it's like 1.5. I'm like, this is because the air ones. But I just think that she's just so tough when it comes to winning. Mm-hmm. And when you hear them say in post game, it's all about winning. Asia Wilson said, hey, I need my team to be at their best for us to win. And I'm like, period. Like, what else do you say? And Kelsey Plum said, you know, people talk to me in all these different ways, but at the end of the day, it's how I talk to myself.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, you know, very profound. So it
is. What a lesson for all of us.
What a lesson for everyone. And the fact that she, you know, she said she had a therapist and she talked to the therapist like, oh, I got all these voices coming at me. Like, I got the woo-woo-woo. I got pray over me. I got Asia saying, get your stuff together, blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, what's in my head? Because those games, I'm telling you, when you're in a game, you don't have time to be having some dialogue with yourself. Mm. You've got to recalibrate between each of these games, a day in between these games, right? And get it together. And I don't care what anybody else says to you. And it's nice and necessary, okay? In all those ways. But at the end of the day, man, what's your inner dialogue? What are you tapping into? Only you can change that part.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so profound last night when Kelsey Plum shared that with us. That was, I had both hands in there like, yes, Kelsey. Yes. Like, that's what we all need to know. in life, not just hoops or athletics or whatever sports. But I just thought that was a really strong statement. Yep. But when it comes to the Aces, I think D'Erica Hamby and her presence on the floor too has been very necessary, especially game one. She played about 11 minutes, but came in and really changed the toughness of Vegas in terms of their physical play. And they know, you know, this has been a physical series. Like you said, the officials are, you know, it's both ways, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But what did she play? 18 minutes in game two? Yep. And really changed the landscape on the glass and defensively. And she looked more in rhythm. I mean, she had that week off in between the series. And I think that really saved her because she was not looking physically ready in terms of her speed. But I think she got that back. I mean, and Becky Hammon said, that's my beast. That's my best beast, you know? And if she can go, I'm putting her on the floor. And when she's out there, boy, she was effective and efficient for Las Vegas.
Well, and she just changes the calculus for Connecticut's defense, really, mainly. Absolutely. I mean, she's just not, with all due respect to Kia Stokes, she's not the same sort of non-offensive threat that Kia Stokes is. If D'Erica Hamby gets the ball, you're pretty worried about what she can do with it. Almost anywhere on the court. She's not a great three-point shooter, but you're worried about the drive. You're worried about a lot of things. So you have to just cover her more. And I think that was a big reason why she was plus 16 in this game in her minutes. Four rebounds. The numbers don't matter with her. That's not her contribution. Her contribution was the energy, the effort, making those little plays, getting steals, getting knocked. You know, that was what her contribution was. And I thought she did it wonderfully. And I'm with you. I think that really changed the series when she came in game one. And I think that showed something off to Vegas. And then they exploited it in game two. Now, I do want to ask you a question. How can Connecticut get back into this series? Because we saw, you know, I think one of the things I talked about after game one with Ice and Dano was Alyssa Thomas being on Chelsea Gray more. We saw that a little bit, not a ton. We saw that big lineup a fair amount for Connecticut in this game. I don't have the exact minutes in front of me, but a good amount in this game. That didn't work out quite as well as we hoped, and it worked out better in game one.
Yes.
So Chrissy, when you look at it, just from the on court adjustments or whatever, you can talk about whatever you want. This is your show. How can Connecticut get back into the series?
Oh, wow. I think you're right. I mean, that big lineup, I think, you know, really kind of got them back into game two. And it was a 3-point game, as we said, going into the fourth quarter. But I think what the zone from Las Vegas, okay, I thought Connecticut with that big lineup did a good job of picking that apart. They really did execute well against that zone. Becky Hammon said as much as well. And I agreed. But when you have when you make the adjustment after that, right, to stay man to man, which the Aces did, and I thought they manned up, right? They locked them, and you know that's how they opened up the game, because it was getting to a point where, hey, they're getting comfortable with this zone, you know, with this big lineup. They're finding little divots right in there in the pocket, right under the free throw line. I know one time there was a lack of rotation to Alyssa Thomas wide open right there. And I was like, they just didn't shift and move on a string a couple times in that zone, but credit Connecticut for that. So with that being said, what can they do in game three? I don't think that Vegas will show a zone again. Or if they do, they won't show it a lot. And if they do, they won't show it a lot when Connecticut has their big lineup on the floor.
No.
I just don't think they'll see it as much because they were successful. So I think now it's Connecticut's turn to make that counter, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, you're showing a zone. So Kurt Miller's like, all right, we're going to go big. And they, you know, they got that momentum. They were manufacturing buckets and stops with that lineup. They were getting boards because they were bigger. In a couple of instances. And then, you know, then Vegas said, okay, we're going to go back to man, you know? So now it's Connecticut's turn. What kind of shift and move are you going to do? And for me, I don't know, like you said, there are a lot of adjustments. There's like this litany of all these things. And you don't at this juncture of the season want to overdo it with things and philosophies and ways. Get buckets to fall, like make your shots, you've got to. If you're Heidemann, if you are Dwanna Bonner, you've got to make those shots. Dwanna Bonner's got to make shots. I mean, I think that's going to be the key. I mean, we already see JJ and AT. They're double doubles. Like, we're not worried about them. They're good. They're doing what they're supposed to do. But those other two for Connecticut, amen. And that's easier said than done, right? And I mean, it sounds so simplistic, but I don't think that it's anything philosophy-wise. I don't think it's anything tactically. I think when they go to that big lineup, then they have to continue to try to attack the paint.
Yeah.
And they've got to put the ball in the bucket. And it's going to be physical. Like, you're going to get hit. Like, we're already, let's not think like, well, we're going in the paint, we're going to hit. That's the finals. You're going to get hit. Like,
they love getting hit.
Right.
That's like, there's been their thing all season.
You're going to get tagged, man. You're going to have to go through that contact and finish. And again, that's what Chelsea Gray was able to do well, right? She's going to take the hit and keep ticking. You got to take the hit and keep ticking. And you got to play it out and play to win. I mean, your back is against the wall. I mean, if you have to go in the locker room and say to Connecticut, and I'm not saying Kurt Miller has this in front of him. I'm just saying in general, if you're in an elimination game as a coach and you have to go in that locker room, Gabe, and say, come on, you guys, you got to play hard. Our back's against the wall. If that's what you start with, you're in trouble. Because that's common denominator. Your pros shouldn't have to say that to you.
Well, and to be clear, I know you think this too, but Connecticut didn't have an effort problem. There was not an effort problem. In my opinion, I don't know about you, but I didn't think there was an effort problem for Connecticut. I thought there was an execution problem and focus problem.
But don't you think effort and focus are the same thing?
No. No, because focus requires a different part of your brain than effort. I can run hard and my mind be a million miles away, right? I can't sit there and play help defense if I'm not really locked into what I'm doing and understanding, okay, this player's there, this player's there. If I get caught up in thinking, we need to stop Asia Wilson, well, my player's running back door behind me, right? So that's why I think effort and – you know, I could go as hard as I want at Asia Wilson, but my focus has betrayed me because there's someone running behind me baseline to the rim.
Understood. But my thing is, okay, and I kind of said this before on here today, mm-hmm. you know, if you don't have your mentality in the right place. So for me, effort falls with mentality too. So that's why, you know, I'll fine tooth comb it, Gabe, you know, that's part of it, right? That's part of it. And I you know, you have to be locked in physically. You've got to first be locked in mentally. So to me, there's an effort for that. So I think to me, that's what I'm saying. All of that is the same thing to me. Like, you've got to put effort into being focused and knowing that the cuts are going to be behind your head or what's going on. Yeah. Like, you've got to be ready for that. And to me, like, your mental, like, your brain is a muscle. Like, you got that. You got to work that too. And I think, you know, I said something, I think, during the Mystic season to head coach and GM Mike Tebow in the same way. Like, I always had this energy, effort, focus. Like, you got to have those three. Like, you can't.
Those go together.
You can't compete, right? And he said, but there's an alertness and awareness. And I'm like, take it. Take it, coach.
There's where the problems were. I agree with Coach.
That's it. And that's why it's different than energy, effort, focus, because those are all, to me, those are common denominators that you should have. But then what you're saying, you got to be aware and alert. You got to be aware and alert. But that all, to me, is a very mental thing. And you have to be locked in to compete like that. And it has to be sustainable. It's not just, okay, you made a mistake, and then the next time you don't make the mistake, but then you make it four other times. Like, that, to me, you cannot be inconsistent with your awareness. Another Coach Tebow word there, to be consistent. Like, you got to be consistent with your alertness, awareness, and then your energy, effort, focus should be right there behind. Yeah.
Well, I think it's easier too when the shots are falling, though, to have all of those things. Like, as much as we love talking about defense, and defense wins championships, and defense is the most important thing, and every team will always tell you, you know, our identity. What's always the phrase? We hang our hat on our defense, we have to have our pride on our defense or something. Mm-hmm. Everyone always says this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? It's way easier to play defense when you're scoring and you're not only being set, but also just like the confidence of like, hey, ball went in, we can get a stop. Right. So those things deeply matter. I think that was one of those things that was going wrong for Connecticut that eventually got them in the end. So, you know, to your point, first thing first for Connecticut to get back into the series or at least win game three, it has to be the execution from game one on defense has to be there. And DeJuan Bonner has to make shots. If DeJuan Bonner does not make shots, I'm going to the championship celebration in Mohegan Sun on Thursday, and I'm very excited for it. But I don't think DeJuan Bonner is going to miss another 8 shots. I think she's going to be able to get to the rim more. And I hope that, you know, she kind of takes some of that Kelsey Plum attack mentality that she's had in like in the last series. She's got to take that and get to the rim and then get blocked there. I don't care. I'll go get blocked at the rim. If you get blocked at the rim, we get blocked at the rim. That's life. But I think she needs to get downhill, and I think she will. The other thing, though, and this is something we've been saying this for years. Jonquel Jones, 11 field goal attempts. She's 6 for 11. Jonquel Jones should never be 6 for 11.
No.
Jonquel Jones should either be 3, like 1 for 6, or, you know, 10 for 20.
Right.
Like, she needs way more shots than 11 shots. Courtney Williams got 17 shots, and she was looking good. But you need to figure out a way to get Jonquel the ball in ways that she can shoot. And I would say she passed up some open threes in this game. So maybe just a little bit more attack mentality from Jonquel would also be big. I mean, that's what kind of kept them in the 2019 finals.
Yes.
So I think it starts there. It starts with the execution. Mm-hmm. It starts with getting back your identity, which is on the boards and on defense.
Right. And containment of the paint. I think that tape totally got turned by Vegas and they took pride in that. Right. Yeah. They went into that game with the sense of, you know, we're going to spread you out and we're going to get downhill. And that's the first thing that Becky Hammon said after the game last night. You know, the difference in this game was Plum's ability
for sure
to turn the corner and get downhill and finish. Right. And she got a couple and ones as well. So, you know, the physicality is going to be there, but if you're Connecticut, you've got to do something to take away the paint. And that's Will. I mean, that's not a defensive scheme. I don't care what deep, if you go triangle into a zone, a man, like, I don't care. I don't care what defense you show, right? It's the lockdown defensive mentality that I'm looking for from Connecticut. And that's going to be a huge piece. Their ability to take away the paint from Las Vegas is going to be the linchpin to a win or not. And yes, shots need to fall. Heidemann and Bonner need to get their shots down. Period. Point blank. The end. Like, that's end of story.
Yeah.
But if they don't lock it down on the defensive end, it's going to be a tough game to watch, I think, because they've got to bring that spirit of sport. The reason why they were outside of their houses when they were little girls with that passion and love to play, that's what they have to show in this game. I don't care what defensive scheme, what, you know, X and O wise. No, listen, it's about Jills and Joes right now. This is about your mentality. This is about your back against the wall. You're at home. You have all the reasons to lay it on the line. And if it doesn't happen that way, I don't know. You got to retool your approach because you have everything. Man, I'm fired up sitting here talking about it. I mean, you have everything laid out right there. You're down 2-0. You didn't shoot the ball well. Like, if I'm Bonner, man, we're down 2-0. We're going back home. I've won a championship before. I got to lead this team. And I don't care if it's not statistically, but I've got to find a way to not woe is me myself being 2 of 18 from the floor. You know, in these two games, my team needs me, you know, and what we were talking about with Plum, the inner dialogue. This is what she's saying to herself. I am certain of it. You know, and going back home, you know, some of the interviews I've heard with Bonner, she says, I would love to bring a championship to Connecticut. And not just for me, not just for my teammates, but for Connecticut as a whole. So I know she's got that going on in between her ears. And I'm anxious to see what that looks like on the court.
Yeah. And, you know, I think to that end, you know, if this is the end for Connecticut, I think you have to go out with the five players, really. Dewanna Bonner, Courtney Williams, Alyssa Thomas, Jonquel Jones, and Bree Jones.
Yeah.
Because it may be the last time we see these. I mean, well, let me rephrase. This finals is definitely the last time we're seeing those four together.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any way all four of those players are back in Connecticut next year just because of math. Salary cap. They can't afford all of them.
No.
Hey, so if you're going to go out, you run that lineup and you let them play and you let them leave it all out there, and you may lose. You may lose, but you let them leave it all out there. You let Alyssa Thomas guard Chelsea Gray 94 feet for 40 minutes. She would love that, right? It's like you let her go. You take off the reins from Alyssa Thomas defensively and just tell her to go. Now, the problem with the whole Chelsea, I know I think your point about the X's and O's is correct, but I do want to bring up one more. The problem with Alyssa Thomas on Chelsea Gray is that Alyssa Thomas is also somehow the team's best help defender.
Right.
And then there's not as much help behind you, but that, you know, logically that shouldn't be that much of a problem because you have Bree Jones and Jonquel Jones on the floor.
Right.
And Dewanna Bonner, who's kind of a good help defender. So I don't know why that doesn't match up. I don't know if that's just like their scheme all season was to have Alyssa and help more, and now they have to put her on the ball more. I don't know, but that's one thing that I would love to see is just a little bit more help behind Alyssa. But you know, you do have to leave it all out there. I think Alyssa, guard Chelsea 94 feet. Don't let her beat us.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to work, but you should try. You know, Dewanna, you have to beat the mismatch because she's also the mismatch on the offensive end.
She is.
She's the area where they have the most advantage in that big lineup, and she's not doing it. And, you know, she had a post up, but I don't remember if they were able to get her the ball or if there was help coming. Right. But that, you know, I think that lineup has to be out there because you have to go out on some terms.
Yes.
It seems like game three or four is going to be where you go out.
Yeah.
I'd say go out with those four on the floor.
And you have to. And you were talking about Alyssa Thomas and her ability to match up with Chelsea Gray, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of strength, physicality, it's a great matchup. But Alyssa Thomas is also a great matchup on Wilson. So we need, you know, for Connecticut, do they need five ATs? Like, they need five.
They absolutely need five Alyssa Thomases. Never take a shot outside the paint. Oh, God. Connecticut would love it.
Right. But, like, defensively, you know what I mean? Like, defensively, Alyssa Thomas can guard multiple positions. And she's done a good job with forcing Asia Wilson to her right. Mm-hmm. She's done a good job, you know, making it rough for her, muddying the paint up when Wilson gets the ball. But she's also a dog when it comes to getting up underneath and into Chelsea Gray. And I think you saw that down the stretch. And this was after Gray came back on the floor after her ankle, her left ankle roll that she had, and went to the locker room, came back, went back into the game. But when Chelsea Gray came back into the game, they had Jackie Young running some point. I don't know if you saw that, right? So a couple times they had Chelsea as the top screener away
in their Connecticut
double stagger action. Yes. And their double stagger action, she was the first screener in that, instead of being the one coming off with the ball in that. So who knows, again, what Chelsea Gray, and hopefully she's just fine and, you know, they're going to tape it up. She's definitely playing. I'm not saying she's not going to play. But, you know, will they take some pressure off of Chelsea Gray in that regard, taking her off the ball and letting Jackie Young run some point guard? And, I mean, when you have a player like Gray who can set solid screens, why not try that? And they did that. They executed so well. I don't know. That play is going to just ring in my head for days here now, because I'm going to look for it again in game three, because it was just perfectly executed. They just baited Connecticut so well into the rotation that they wanted and found Asia Wilson on her strong side, on the weak side there, the left block, and she finished, you know, with her strong, dominant left hand. So, I don't know. For me, I just think I love the game so much, and I love the inner workings of it. And I do love the X's and O's, and I do appreciate that. So I don't want to throw it all out the window. But at the same time, you know, it comes down to bearing down. Yeah. Like, you got to bear down mentally and just fight for what you want and show that passion. And it's okay to show that passion and frustration.
Yeah.
Right. When you have that passion and things aren't working out the way you want it to, you still have to fight hard, man. And that's what I want to see from Connecticut. And they've got to get buckets, they've got to get stops, and they've got to do a better job of containing the paint.
Well, I think this whole part of the conversation assumes that the little things that we talked about, those execution errors, are not going to be there for Connecticut. That the whole part of this discussion talking about the X and O's relies on not having those mistakes and having DeJuan Bonner make some shots. Those two things absolutely need to happen. If those two things do not happen, again, we're hanging out in Connecticut with the Las Vegas Aces, going to have a party. But
hey, FaceTime me if that happens, man.
I'm going to be there until the wee hours of the morning, regardless. I'm having fun. Whoever wins this game, I don't care.
If that happens, FaceTime me, man. We gotta go live if that happens.
Yeah. Oh yeah, live from we'll talk about doing live. No, and I think here's just like another idea that popped into my head. And again, I'm a Miami Heat fan, so just like bear with me. Throughout this season, the Miami Heat ran some zones where it was Bam Adebayo at the point of attack. So yeah. Right, they run a very specific zone, and I'm not sure Connecticut has installed anything like this. So this may be a non-starter altogether. But if you put Alyssa Thomas at the point of attack in a 3-2-ish matchup zone, I think that could help just like stave off the onslaught of Chelsea Gray without having to put Alyssa Thomas in a fully non-help position.
Right.
Like you can get a lot more if you're able to just switch right before the elbow and have Alyssa pushing the attack out past the 3-point line.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This is not the time to install something new. If they have something that's like that, and I haven't noticed it this year, but they may, I don't know. If they have something like that, now is the time to whip it out, because I think that could be really helpful. Help the Heat a lot. Because their guards were not that good at stopping penetration. So the person who's best at stopping penetration is Bam Adebayo for them. It's Alyssa Thomas for Connecticut. And then you get your two bigs down at the rim, better help position. You know, you might give up some corner threes, but hopefully those corner threes are going to players, you know, Hamby and Jackie Young. And if Hamby and Jackie Young beat you, whatever. That is the way the cookie crumbles. At least you're not getting beat in the same exact way. So that's just like
I like that.
I just don't, coach. Coach. Yeah. Put me and Kurt. Let's try to install this in on the charter flight last night. I guess let's move on. Last question: is this series over in Game 3?
Boy, so many factors, Gabe. Golly, that's a tough one.
You spend about 50 minutes discussing.
That's what I'm saying. Lord have mercy. But I think. Oh my gosh. I'm just going to say it. I'm just going to drive to the rim like Plum. Like if I get blocked, I get blocked, yeah, get whatever plum. Mentality. I think it's over, baby. I think it's over. I think the momentum that Las Vegas is playing with right now and the way that they closed out the game in the fourth quarter after it being a one possession game. I mean, that was going to be my second question last night, but I could only get in one. It was unfortunate, but, it was going to be what, you know, the mentality of that part of the game, right? Mm-hmm. When Connecticut's right there, you're at home, big game two, right? A decisive game three right here on the line. And I just think the momentum and the mentality necessary to close out game two is going to be what they start with in game three. And I think there's no looking back after that.
I'm trying to think. Because I agree with you. This series is over. This series ends in Connecticut. Is it in game three? Connecticut has a lot of pride. That's the thing. Like,
they do.
I don't know what they're going to do, but it's not going to look the same as it did in game two. They may just sit on the ball for 24 seconds. And this game, you know, we could see a four corners whipping out. Because four corners, toss the ball at the rim, get the offensive rebound, and just wait the clock out and win a 2-0 game. But I just think that Connecticut has to throw out everything. I think they're gonna give all out effort. I think they're gonna really, really play hard. So that's why it makes it hard for me to pick Las Vegas in game three. However, as I mentioned, I'm going to game three. I want to party. So I'll pick Vegas.
You want the Sham Pipple.
The 2019 championship celebration was like so fun. And then I haven't been to a finals in 2 years.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, I want to see the championship celebration. We'll see. I don't know. I mean, you know, I think for Vegas, they have everything rolling. Typically though, in these playoffs, especially when it seems like a team has everything rolling, the script gets flipped. It's happened a few times in these playoffs. So I could see Connecticut winning game three, but I'm going to go Vegas just because of what I want. And because I just think they're so crisp right now. They just know exactly what they want to do. And I think that's going to shine through, hopefully.
Yeah. And I think Hamby tips the scale for the Vegas Aces. I just think the absence of Jasmine Thomas and the addition of De'Erica Hamby, I think to me, that's where the scale is tipped for me in deciding on who wins game three. But I also think, you know, when we saw Greg Popovich, the Spurs head coach, in the locker room with Becky Hammon and the Las Vegas Aces. If you haven't heard that, you have to look that up
on the
media stuff on their socials. You got to look at that because, you know, I think at the end of it, Pop said, remember what I told you about winning games on the road in the playoffs and what that is. And Becky Hammon said, it's sweeter.
It's sweet.
So, I mean, for those champions, you know, to be standing there and saying that, I mean, it's fun. I mean, Becky Hammon won the NBA Summer League Championship. So she's a champion in that way on the professional level. And then Pop with all his rings. It's like, hey, man, if you're not listening to that and that doesn't entice you if you're Las Vegas, then something's wrong with you. I don't know. Like, I'm fired up. It was almost, I love social media in that way because it puts you right in the locker room like that. And like what you would be thinking as a player. Maybe that's just me that like sits there and goes through the mental gymnastics of what that would feel like to hear that from those two headed to Connecticut to possibly close out the series. That just bubbles me right up. I love it.
No, I thought it was really funny when Pop was like, yeah, I just listened to everything Becky told me. And Becky like rolled her eyes. Like, that's
super cute. I love that. I love it.
And
the regard and the respect in that moment, it was beautiful.
He also said, like, I don't need to tell you guys anything. I don't think anyone needs to tell his team anything. This team is so ready. I mean, if it's game three or game four, we'll see. I mean, remember, the other side has a lot of pride, too. And that's what I'm getting at. Connecticut has a lot of pride. Right. So it doesn't matter if they even think they have a chance to win the series, they're going to come out and try to win that game three.
Absolutely.
So I think it might be the best game in the series. Probably is going to be game three. If I had to guess, especially if Vegas wins, I think if Vegas wins, it'll be close. I think it could be, I don't know. I really have no clue. I have no clue what's going to happen here. I just think that it's more likely that the Aces play the way they did last night. Then the Sun figuring out everything.
What to do. Yeah.
For the next game.
I agree.
But the Sun did have a good game plan in game one. I just think that relied on a lot of Kelsey Plum misses.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're not going to get those, you know, easier possessions defensively anymore.
Yeah, I agree. I just think it is a personal pride situation, obviously, for Connecticut. Period, point blank. I mean, we know that. But for me, it's also personal pride for Las Vegas, right? Yeah. They want this championship. They've fallen short a couple seasons in a row now. I think with the addition of Becky Hammon and how she's overhauled the entire team philosophy and the trust factor is definitely locked in. It's going to be tough to beat that squad. That's all I know. But again, you know, emotion can carry. This Connecticut team is going to be packed in there. I mean, it's sold out. I mean, game two was sold out in Vegas. Game three is sold out in Connecticut. I mean, it's going to be a tremendous atmosphere. And, you know, I'm anxious to see how they come out. And I think it's going to be that first quarter. And Kurt Miller said, hey, we can't have flat first quarters. We've got to come out ready to go. And that's why I'm saying, like, if I'm Becky Hammon, I'm saying, hey, we're going to start this game how we finished the last one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you say that to a team, there's some empowerment there because that's who you are.
Yep.
That's what got us the win. So now you're going to encapsulate that and then move into this next game with that same momentum, start strong, finish stronger. I mean, when you present that to competitors, that's a game changer, man. That's a game changer. But also saying to Connecticut, it's hard as a coach, right, to say we've got to have a strong first quarter because they have not had that. So to tap into something that they have not done yet in the series, that's going to take a lot of leverage mentally for the players to get there because they haven't done that yet.
I just hope Vegas wins. No shade to Connecticut. I think I love what that team has done. I just want to be there for the party. That's the only thing I'm asking for.
I want to see you at the party too. So.
I feel like I said on this podcast or on Spread the Floor that I was not going to Connecticut for WNBA playoff basketball. And I'm going to Connecticut for WNBA playoff basketball. I was trying to will the Mystics to the finals.
Oh man,
before.
It's close. Close game one, Seattle.
Yeah, now I have to take a like 4-hour train to New York and then a 3-hour drive from New York to Connecticut.
Oh boy.
Yeah, instead of just the quick 30 minutes. Huh?
Are you gonna fly? You're not flying?
I don't like flying. I like trains. They go on the ground.
Trains, planes, automobiles, man. However you get there,
and
Gabe's training.
The flight to New York is actually easier on the train because then I can like switch my times. Like if I show up late, it's fine. I don't care.
Oh yeah, you get the next one.
Yeah. Amtrak's fine. Although I'm not going to try to miss my train.
Yeah.
No. So I think it's maybe the end of the season, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to think after such a long season. And it's crazy to think that the Aces are here after, you know, they were the favorite all season. And it's just interesting because the last two seasons. Actually, when did was Seattle number one seed in 2020?
Oh my gosh.
I know
it may have been. I would have to look back two years ago. That was the bubble. That was the bubble.
Nope, Las Vegas was the number one seed.
2020?
In 2020.
Okay. And then Seattle was two then.
Huh? Seattle was two.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm just looking that now I'm interested. Yeah, so this could be our first number one seed since the Mystics in 2019. Huh. Winning the title.
It's right there for them. For the taking.
It's right there, and I think they're going to show up. But hey. Well, strange things happen in basketball, especially in the playoffs. Trying to think if there's anything else I want to say about the series. I'm good. I'm ready to watch this in person.
Hey, I'm ready to watch it in person on my couch with my slippers on. I'll be watching, honey. But yeah, I think it'll be intriguing. They're cutting the lights out on us, Gabe. Yeah. And we're going to have to let you get this train and head on up north for what could be the WNBA championship game three of the WNBA finals at Mohegan Sun Arena. But we got to get up out of here. It has been a joy and a pleasure to chop it up with you, my friend. And as always, make sure you subscribe, comment, and follow us on all of our social media sites and links and all that, and have some fun watching the WNBA finals. And we will bring you more information and follow up on whether or not this is the end of it on our next episode. So thank you guys for joining us today. For Gabe Ibrahim, I'm Christy Winter-Scott. We'll see you next time on Courtside.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.